This past week or so, and even some last week, some of you've noticed me being interviewed and put on one of the local news channels, and you've had fun with that. And you've asked me about autographs. I've turned all those down, but I have something to share with you this morning. The regional notoriety that I've received. We have a couple in our presence who've been on statewide TV recently, and Bob and Linda Fitzgerald were interviewed as a part of a story on Discover Oklahoma on our local Dean's Coney Island, and so we have local celebrities here, and they will be signing autographs in the foyer today as you leave at a discounted price, I'm sure. No doubt. It's been a good week. We've been busy. Our college group, I want you to remember them in your prayers. They are at their own retreat this weekend, and this is just a picture of them having a prayer before they left this weekend. And so keep our college group in your prayers as they draw together and draw close to God this weekend. We have helped over 140 so families that have been affected by the floods. They've come by our relief center across the street, and so many have been helped, and we're still in the process of helping them. And so I want to thank all of you who have participated in staffing our relief center across the street, all who've served in one way or another. We've done, there are a lot of different things that we've done, and you've helped, even your prayers. And I've heard a comment or two from some of you who you feel bad because you have not been able to do anything, and you need to know that just being a part of this church family, every contribution, every prayer you offer, every way that you're a part of this group, we do it together, and we're a team. And so, and then I want to also brag on the chief. We have different ones that are the head honcho over there. The buck stops with them. And those individuals are Jim Mozingo, Terry Bullard, David White, and Zach Foote. And I want to brag on them and thank them for taking on that big responsibility. Our game plan at this point, our numbers are dwindling of those who come to us. So we're quickly transitioning into the phase where we'll verify people's status in the sense that they truly were impacted, flooded, that kind of thing. And we'll get our records correct on what we offer them, one appliance, and for those uninsured, one appliance and one room furnished. So we'll be getting that information together, get that ordered. We'll have a semi, we'll unload that, and then we will be getting those people to come and get their items as they move back into their homes. So we're on track with all of that, and that's where we're headed. And in the meantime, there's so many families that are cleaning out their homes. It's hard to know. We've been taking care of our own first and foremost, make sure they are squared away. But there's so much to be done. And I want to tell you that Crosstown, as you probably know, they opened their facilities as a Red Cross shelter. And they've been doing that in addition to a number of other things. And the minister over there, Robert Prater, has contacted me. There's one family in particular that they are working with, and they're wanting to connect us to. And so we may have an opportunity to partner with them and help clean out, work on cleaning out their homes. So there's things coming up, church. If you have not helped, or you have, but you can help more, I encourage you to be ready to jump. This sermon today, and I do have my timer going, you'll be glad to know if you were here last week. This sermon today, Time to Work, comes from a couple different scriptures. And I have a disclaimer to start with, and that is I've been planning this sermon for a while. It's been, I have a what I call a hopper, and that has different little ideas for sermons that have not been developed yet. This one's been in the hopper for a little while, and so I did not write this to whip you guys and get you to do something with everything that's going on, and yet it is timely, and it's a sermon I hope you can relate to. I know I can relate to. There's a part of me that needs to be reminded, if it's today, it's time to do something for God. And our time is now, is the short version of it. Don't leave. That's kind of the gist of the sermon, but you want to stay for the whole thing. All right. John chapter 5. If you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5 and verse 1, we read about this situation where Jesus comes upon a man who's at a pool, and it is called Bethesda. And at this pool that we read about in John 5, different crippled individuals, those with different problems, the blind, the lame, and all of those would be there. And it was believed that periodically an angel would come and stir the waters, and the first one in would be healed. And so this is a popular place. And Jesus goes and finds a man who is crippled, and he's been that way for 38 years. And he asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" And this is where that man says, I have no one to help me in the water. And he's desperate. And Jesus tells him, he heals him. He says, "Get up, take your mat, take your bed, and walk." And so the man's healed. But the problem is now the Jews get in and kind of an uproar because Jesus did this on the Sabbath. And so they get to kind of persecuting Jesus over it. And John 5:17, Jesus answered them. He says, "My Father is working until now, and I'm working." And it's kind of an odd, a little bit of an odd response. You weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath, but a couple different points here. Jesus, you know, is healing, working. That's quite an odd argument that they tried to make, a case that they made that, you know, the Almighty in Son form was healing and that was working, trying to persecute him with his own law. And yet the other thing Jesus points out is God is always working. In New Century Version, I like the wording, it reads, "My Father never stops working, and so I keep working too." And one of the takeaways from this is it should be very comforting to us to know that God is always working on your behalf. Right? God, he's not like us. He's not limited. In other words, when we go help people who are flooded, we can't help them all. There are too many and there's not enough of us. Well, it's not that way with God. It's not like if God's busy with a disaster somewhere that he doesn't have time for you. God has no limit on time. He's always working. He works through his Spirit. He works through means we don't understand, but he's always working for you. And have you ever thought about this? You have worries and you go to sleep at night and those worries are on your mind and you pray and you try not to worry. And so when you go to sleep, you're hitting the pause button on your life. And if you have a conversation with yourself, it goes like this: "Self, I'll see you in the morning, but you know, it's sleep time," and you stop. But God doesn't stop. God doesn't stop. Around the clock, he's working. God doesn't nap. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't take vacation. God always works. And it's the message there is a message of comfort and encouragement. If you pray and then things don't magically get fixed, it doesn't mean God's not working. It may mean that what's happening is exactly what God wants to happen or needs to happen. And so I just find that verse comforting. God, my Father, never stops working. And then if you flip to John 9, a few chapters later, in John 9, verse 1, Jesus encounters a man that was blind from birth. He was born blind. And in the first century, the common thought was if really bad things happened to a person, or something so tragic like this, here's one who's never had their vision. They were blind from birth. And the common thought was in the first century to a Jew was somebody, this is punishment. In other words, their parents must have done something bad for this child to be born like this. That was the common belief. And so Jesus' disciples, they asked Jesus, they said, "So, hey, Jesus, who sinned so that this man would have been born blind? Who sinned? Was it his parents? Was it this man?" And Jesus answered them and told them, "It's neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Sometimes we think when something bad happens to us that we've done something wrong. And it's not to say that God never disciplines us. So bear that in mind. But, you know, we've heard some stories from people coming in our relief center this past week or so. And we've heard from families who they've been flooded. This is not the first time they've had to clean out. Second time. And incidentally, I want to say, we've heard from so many families who said, we were told by, you know, someone in authority, we were told we did not need flood insurance. We were told that we were not in floodplain. We were told that we were in a 500-year floodplain. We were told all these things, and we've heard that over and over and over. So we, our hearts go out to them. We're sympathetic because we can see how tragic it is, the situation they're in. Even one family that their insurance dropped their flood insurance without them knowing, and they're having to deal with that. But so families are in, they're hurting. And one family, one couple, they were on vacation when it flooded. They couldn't save anything. One young couple were honeymooning when it flooded. And they come back and imagine starting a marriage, cleaning out your flooded house. Try that one on. And then one family, they got their items, what they could. They got them out. They took them to a storage in Sepulpa, and then the tornado came through Sepulpa and hit their storage. Now, if you're that family, and maybe some of these others, right, you start to look up and say, what did we do? Right? And the you know, it's very likely that they did nothing wrong. In fact, we have a whole book of the Bible dedicated to answering the question, God, when horrible things happen to me, is it my fault? And what's wrong? And the book is Job. And the book is about the fact that the devil is always bringing about chaos. And God is always working in our favor. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where it does flood. And things do happen. And Jesus answered that question in John 9. And then in John 9 verse 4, Jesus made this statement. He said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And that's this sermon. This verse should be an inspiration to us that, hey, if we're working in some way for God, now's the time. If you're ever wondering, like, well, when's the right time? Now's the time. What's the right day? It may be today's the right day because we don't know about tomorrow. And this passage points out the fact that God is always working in things. Someone took this picture of these homes flooded with a rainbow, a perfect rainbow in the background. It's just one moment in time, but it's an example that God is working. God can be glorified in bad things. One family, as we were helping them, this person was a fireman, and he made the statement. He said, you know, this has actually helped to restore my faith in humanity because of all the help they've received. He said, you know, in my line of work, I see a lot of bad in people. You can imagine that. I'm sure policemen are the same way. See a lot of bad in people, and this event has allowed him to see the good in people and the good in God, and God can be glorified in these things. Let's talk about time. You think you have plenty of time, and I you know, when you're young, time seems to be a commodity that you have an endless supply of. Your future and getting old and dying, and you kind of imagine how your life's going to play out, and we all imagine we'll die at a ripe old age, don't we? And so we think we have time, plenty of time. We've heard a lot of stories about evacuations. People talking about we had no one told us to evacuate. We didn't know. One woman that she knew there was a possibility of flooding, but she was trying to she was trying to stay the course, and it's not going to get to my house and stay calm. And her young adult son, he said, Mom, we got to do something. She said, hey, we're going to be fine. Next thing she knows, it's early in the morning. Her hair is a mess. She's not ready for, you know what I mean, for the world. And the boy shows up with all his friends, and they're grabbing stuff and packing it and moving it. And it's a whirlwind. Time. Didn't have much time. And there are times like that, there are occasions that remind us, you know, some people had a few hours to move out, some had less than 1 hour. And some were on vacation, of all things. You feel for them. when we were planning the efforts across the street, the first day we opened, we didn't know what to expect, but it was a good day. We had people come, but we had three forms, three papers, and the second one was about if we were to have workers come in and come to your house, and then the third paper was about furniture and furnishings. And at the time we opened, day one, the water still, we didn't know if it's gonna how high it was going to get. It was still, they were letting out, 275,000 cubic feet per second, whatever that is, and it's a whole bunch of water. And so on day one, I thought we're going to be in this thing for weeks and weeks and weeks until they can even get back in their homes. Day two, they're in their home. They're needing wheelbarrows, tools. Day one, we're like, we're not even giving out supplies. Day two, here's all your supplies. Evidently, everyone's in their home cleaning out. And I just say that to say we don't understand time. We think we can predict it. And we cannot predict it. We don't know what the future holds. And that's what this sermon is about, the fact that if it's today, that's the day we have. When people are on their deathbed, when someone is close to passing, what's the one thing they wish they had more of? Time. Time. And that's why this verse, John 9:4, that's the point of this verse. If there will come a moment when either your life will be over or this whole world will be over. And if Jesus comes tonight, it's done. If Jesus comes tonight, whoever it was that you were hoping to lead to Christ or to help become saved or to help repent or to do whatever they needed to do to walk with God, whatever we intended to do, if Jesus comes tonight, it's done. We won't have that chance. And that's why this verse, I wrote that down as a possible sermon, because it's such a great message that we need. If we have today, today's the day. Let's talk about some of these. This is kind of a strong word, excuses. And so I'll start this section out by saying I make excuses. This sermon convicts me. In fact, every sermon I get up and preach, don't think the preacher has it all perfected in his life and now, I've got it figured out and now I'm going to lead you. God has the preacher preach all the sermons. And so every sermon I preach, I get, in case you kind of get it in the gut, God does that to me the whole week I'm working on this thing. So, but excuses, we do give them. And I have to start by saying there are legitimate reasons. If your health is not good, if you're one of our older ones, if you may have responsibilities that tie you up, that you can't do anything at certain times, so there are reasons why we're unable to do something for God. But this is about the times when we do give some excuses. So, we'll hit that in just a second. So, some of the ones that we give, one of them is, well, I give to God when I come to worship, the 1 hour a week. That's when I do what I do for God. And so I remind us that, church, when we're here right now at this time, this is not serving. This is worshiping God. It's not serving what we're doing here. This is thanking God. And it's not work, it's worship. Does that make sense? So there's a time to serve, and there's a time to worship. And when we gather like this, we encourage each other, and this is us saying, God, thank you. And we worship Him, and we commune with Him. That's what this is. Sometimes we'll say, our kids are young, so we can't really do a whole lot. And sometimes that, with certain circumstances, that's true. And yet I see our young dads and our young mothers working in ways that they can work. I see them do it. I see Becca Foote being our scheduler for what's going on across the street. She has two young ones. Amy Harris comes up, has one strapped on her back, of all things, and she's moving mountains over there. And that inspires me, and it reminds me there are ways that we can overcome the things that the devil will give us to say, you need to not do anything. There are things that God can use us for. Sometimes we may think, well, my kids are busy in activities. They're busy with this, but they're busy with that. Sometimes that can be an excuse. We may say, I'm progressing as we get older. So kids get a little older and we think, my kids are going to be out of the house soon. So I just want to spend more time with them. And that's what these pictures are for. We went out Thursday in a group and helped the Fields family, help them with some cleanup and clean out. And we look serious, don't we? This is hardcore stuff. Hardcore. Don't let it scare you. Don't let it scare you. We had some photo ops just to look tough. But, the great thing about kids that are about to be out of the house is it's a built-in workforce. And that's what we had. We had four adults, four kids, and you have built-in labor. You just tell them, come on, we're going. It was a good day. Good day. A lot of muscle. So, I wanted to share that with you. Back up here while I keep talking. Because sometimes the devil will say, your heart says, I want to do something. The devil says, you can't do anything because here's why. And then God says, well, here's a way you can. I'll show you a way that you can. But we may think, I'm going to be, so our kids are out of the house and we're looking at retirement. We're thinking, hey, before long, we're going to be retired. So we really need to do, our own thing now. And maybe we'll do for God later. And next thing you're retired and you say, well, we're still healthy. So we need to do for us now. And if we're not careful, the devil gets us to believe into this statement that we would never say, but we might live, not knowing. And the statement is, we need to live and enjoy our lives first, and then we'll serve God. None of us would ever sign that. None of us would ever really want to do that. But if we're not careful, the devil can get us to. All right, time wasters. So here's a whole different aspect of our lives now. We have, or can, and I have, become, at times, a champion time waster. With technology that is so useful if we'll use it, but it's also the devil's wearing us out with it, folks. Smartphones, he can waste gobs of your time, right? I've always enjoyed video games. I grew up in the era of Atari and Pac-Man and Space Invaders, right? Donkey Kong, right? Atari. And so that was great. And then when all this new technology comes out as a young adult, okay, Xbox, all these, right? All the current technology for gaming, it's a whole industry. And I'm thinking, as an adult, I can go buy some things now. And I got into it for a while, and it reached a point where this is not the only reason I stopped. So don't be too proud of me. But one of my reasons was I could lose hours of time that felt like minutes. And it happens with, there's a whole word that we didn't used to have or didn't used to use in the way we do use it now. And it's called, hold on, let me find my word. The word is binge watching. We've had the word binge, but not binge watching, because back in the day, you get about 20 minutes of a show with commercials, and then you get to wait a whole week before you watch the next one. You couldn't binge watch something if you wanted to. But now, you can turn on Netflix, and you don't even have to touch the remote again, right? Episode after episode after episode, called binge watching. And I just throw that out there, church, to say we can waste a lot of time. I'm not saying there's not, understand me, hear me. God gave his people the Sabbath. Why? To rest. There's a time to rest, isn't there? There's a time to rest. There's a time to sleep. There's a time to take a vacation. There's a time for recreation. But the devil says, come on over here and just live in it and waste time with me, because that's all I need you to do. I'm not asking you to turn your back on God. Just waste a bunch of time so that you don't get things done for God. So I remind you today, John 9:4, we must work while it is day. I want to end with this. There was a man, a story told, a true story about a man who was told that he was terminal. And so he had a few months in his life to live, and he quickly transitioned from living probably like most of us do to he lived very purposeful, and every day he planned out his day. And he would do things during every day that were things that you would do if you knew you were about to die. Things like, I want to talk to this person. I want to talk to that person. I want to go, doing things that are eternal, have eternal effects. And so he would do that. And one of the things that he learned, and this is kind of a thought I want to leave you with, is he said he became amazed at how much you could get done in a day if you really wanted to. How much you could get done for God in one day if you really wanted to. And so today this is not a shot to the gut. It's a pat on the back, and it's, church, we've got a lot to do. This isn't just about the flood recovery. This is about if there's someone that you've been intending to invite to church, there's someone you've been intending to have a talk with, there's someone you've been intending to send a card to, some way we have VBS coming up where we are always needing teachers. There's always ways to serve. And just a reminder, there will come a day when time will stop, and we want to be working now. We're going to sing a song, and I want to flip to the second verse real quick and just kind of leave this with you. The second verse says, at the end of our journey, we shall bow down on bended knee, and the angels up in heaven will sing the song of victory. And that's so true. The day's coming. The journey will end. But we're not there yet, and we have time to work. Thank God we do. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If there's one here that you have a need that we could pray with you about, we'd love to do that. If there's one, if you're not ready to meet Christ, do not put it off. Either come during this song or catch us immediately after. One way or the other, we will help you, whatever you need. If a person needs to have their sins washed away, let's do that. But come while we stand and sing.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the
Yeah.